You're listening to Dresser After Dark on the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network.
Our guest, Michael King, and he's the author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Perspective from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. The lives of Michael King were anything but eventful after enduring the painful trauma of his daughter's death from leukemia and the failure of his marriage. He believed suicide was the only answer until two near-death experiences changed his mind. Michael is a native of California. He's a world-renowned leader in systems integration and electromagnetic waves and fields. He's presented courses at major universities such as Oxford, many technological corporations serving as international base. As a career counterpoint, he now mentors others to help them build self-esteem. Michael, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you so much for being here. I want to go back over that. You know, I'm sorry about your daughter. And so that's traumatic. You know, you lose your wife, and now you're thinking about doing suicide. Did you actually try to commit suicide?
I never got to that point because at the time I was connected with sensing the desperate decline of my life at the time. And to put this in qualification, this was about 35 or more years ago.
Yeah.
I had connected with a group of holistic psychologists. I just barely started with them actually recognizing that things were going badly. And there was what we call sometimes in science a tipping point. And unlike metaphorically pulling the trigger, I reached out for a life raft in the form of this holistic psychologist group and started to learn how to extricate myself from this terrible crater of despair.
Okay, so when we talk about that, now you when we say lives, now you almost hit it twice. It was then, and then there was a then you had another near-death experience. Now, when we talk about atheism, let's talk about that for a moment and define what that is.
Well, literally, the textbook definition is non-belief in God. The modern atheist movement have taken that a step further, in my view, have made it something of a religion in that a religious-like belief system, in that they say, well, everything ends at the end of organic life, that death is an absolute term, nothing else happens. Unfortunately, that doesn't exactly explain things like the more advanced depths of near-death experiences. It doesn't explain so many of the anecdotal evidence that have come along that suggests that there is a spiritual form. It certainly doesn't explain visions or precognitions or empathic descriptions or telepathic descriptions that human history is replete in reports, so we can't prove it scientifically, yet there's this body of evidence out there, or body of suggestion at least, that says...
But isn't that the contradiction now? And by the way, I'm not a biblical scholar, and I'm not taking you to task with this, but I'm listening to what you're saying. But isn't that in and of itself a contradiction? How can suggestions be provable?
Well, it's true. They cannot be in the form of science that we have today. I think eventually it will be. I think eventually that we will discover that the human mind has an ability to consciously project.
Yeah.
And I think that explains the near-death experiences. In the book, I report my personal experiences, and it is much more dynamic than, quote-unquote, the tunnel of light that's been described many times, because having gone through the ER, having gone through hovering over my body in the ER, and then visiting the tunnel of light, frankly, I decided that the tunnel of light was a trap. I discovered that it was a boundary that needed to be penetrated.
Michael, let me hold you up right there with the boundary needing to be penetrated. We're going to go to our first break. We'll be right back, so please stay with us. Michael King is our guest. The book is Atheists Can Get Into Heaven, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. We'll be right back with Michael right after this. I'm Michael Ray. Stay with us.
Back to Dresser After Dark on the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. The book is Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. Our guest, Michael King, is the author. Michael, let's go back to you hovering over the table with an operation. What was the experience like? What did that tell you at the time?
Well, at that time, my consciousness was completely detached from my body, and there was a plane of visibility at some elevation above all of that, where you see the doctors doing their thing to try to save the physical life. I found that the progression is in stages. That's stage one, in effect. Stage two is a field of white light that I'll call a fog, for lack of a better description, starts to envelop. And then once that starts to envelop, things tend to become opaque in this increasingly dense fog. I interpreted that to be a boundary, a vessel of confinement, if you want to think of it that way. And I know from physics that those kinds of vessels, if my sentient consciousness is really an electrodynamic field, then a vessel can confine it and can absorb it and lose it, right? So I decided to experiment with the idea that, okay, well, I think my body is dead anyway. What have I got to lose? What happens if I try to push out the boundaries of this tunnel of light or chamber or however you want to try to describe it? It's tough to do, I might add. And I found that it was possible to move through time and space as a completely intact as a sentient consciousness. And I would say that heaven, from that experience, is not a place, but a state of being, a state of evolutionary being, a state of enlightenment where one can meet and conjoin with others who are similarly evolved.
Okay, now, all right, so we are talking about joining with others once you've gone through the death experience.
Yes.
Okay, so are we talking about a consciousness, a mind of, you know, I've known there's been experiments time and again when someone dies, if they take the exact measurement, they weigh a little bit less. There's that certain something called a spirit, call it whatever you want, that's in the body that leaves when a person dies. So whatever that is, where does it go?
Well, there's a field of study that talks about, that's centered on the idea that quantum electrodynamics is really the consciousness. And it's really pretty simple. We know that an electromagnetic wave, once it transmits into space, is infinite. It goes forever. Carl Sagan had good drama on that in his book and movie Contact.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard physics. That's not speculation at all. In the appendix of my book, by the way, I relate a number of experiments that I don't think the public broadly knows about that have tested these things. We know that we can apply electric fields under certain modulation conditions to the human being and cause blackout, nausea, disorientation, change emotional feelings. It's a fascinating study, actually. And there's an electromagnetic theory of consciousness.
Let me back it up so we can get our hands around this thing. So
sure.
We're talking about the body in and of itself. The brain is an electrochemical factory. So energy, we'll call it the electrical impulses, have an effect on the chemistry of the body. You change the balance of the chemistry of the body, you also change the dynamic of the body, and then all of these things happen.
I think that the body, from my view, is really a reservoir of organic fuel, so to speak, that fuels the mind.
But the fuel, it comes in what, the, you know, what is the fuel? Is it chemical? Is it, what is it? Is it nutrients?
Well, it's chemical that feeds electrodynamics in the brain. I mean, we know that there's an electrical impulse every time a synapse peptide link fires in the brain. We know that's an electrical event. We know that, according to functional MRI machines, we know that it's a three-dimensional matrix of thought progression that works in the brain. There's recently an article, I think, on television that shows that they're having some success literally reading minds, reading thoughts through these kinds of devices. Well, if you can read thoughts, then thoughts are electrodynamic in nature. If you can put electric fields and change the characteristics of the electric fields, as I write in that appendix, then the mind is receptive to electromagnetic.
Okay, well, let's back it up for a minute. Let's slow it down. So a thought, whatever a thought is, also has an energy component to it, which triggers responses in the body then, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in essence, the thoughts we think from the limbic part of the brain, that emotional, the pain and pleasure part of the brain, so the thoughts in and of themselves can stimulate that part of the brain. You stimulate that part of the brain, you've got mirror neurons in there that emulate everything that goes on.
Certainly.
Okay. So,
but it's still bioelectric.
Pardon?
It's still bioelectric.
Yeah. Okay. So the thoughts would be the catalyst to stimulate the bioelectric components to cause action or inaction.
Well, it's a causal relationship. The bioelectric components are the thoughts trigger the bioelectric components. We also know that behavior from brain research, we know that the behavior in a person is addictive. The brain sets up neural links that are repetitive. And certain behaviors, like triggered anger to stimulus, for example, can be remapped, but it takes an incredible amount of willpower in order to look inside yourself and say, I don't want to waste my energy being angry anymore. I don't want to waste my energy being depressive, and so on and so on.
But isn't that also controlling the fight-or-flight mechanism, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, but it can be consciously done.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And that's repatterning the brain. And the progression that I started with that group of holistic psychologists I spoke about some time ago brought this whole idea of consciousness projection to a reality for me in the sense that I became practiced at learning how to focus my consciousness quite literally and amplify it, denying other resources. For example, my body would get very cold as I did this. And I could become much more alert, much more aware, much more sensitive, and so on, much more empathic. So when I went into clinical death in 1994, I found that the projection of my consciousness was seamless.
Michael, let me hold you up. We have to go to our last break, so please stay with us. Our guest, Michael King, the book is Atheists Can Get to Heaven, A Perspective from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. I'm Michael Ray Dresser. We'll be right back.
Back to thought-provoking conversation with Michael Ray Dresser on Dresser After Dark.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. We are talking to Michael King. The book is The Atheist Can Get to Heaven, Perspectives from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Light. Michael, let me ask you this. We pick the book up, we read it page by page, cover to cover. What's the takeaway? What does the average person get from the book? How do we wrap our arms around it to understand it in a way that's accessible?
The takeaway is that personal development is, as a unique premise, is a natural progression. It ranges from the physical of everyday life, and that can extend to the metaphysical, the spiritual, that we owe our existence to the great and implacable forces of nature. We are made of the stardust of nature, the subatomic particles of nature, and organizing that into our consciousness gives us our spirituality extending from the physical, and you don't need a belief in a deity to do that.
Okay, but isn't that belief in and of itself the belief in a deity? And when I say a deity, it doesn't have to be a honed down, definable, this is what it is. But isn't it in and of itself a deity?
I don't think so. It's participation in a process. And the process is one's own development. And that development hangs on things like losing self-negations, losing the impediments of blind belief systems that deflect your reason away from acting in your own best volitional self-interest. Angers, as I said before, depressions, any self-negations, living your life like a battered woman would lead her life completely to the hands of the batterer. She loses her self-esteem. She loses her energy. She has no clue who she is anymore without the batterer.
Okay, so in essence, what you're saying here is just to stand up and be independent.
Yes, be yourself. Learn your own authenticity.
Did I not hear you say that once you do die and whatever that energy is that leaves the body, did I not hear you say that connects with others?
You can, yes.
Okay, well, when you say you can't, or does it, or do you wander around, and this is an honest question, I'm not leading anywhere with it, but do you wander around by yourself?
You wander around to meet with others, and it's almost like visiting one town or community in another town and community, or join with a larger community. That's the best I can describe it. That's, I think, too long a conversation to deal well.
No, not in a minute or so. It's not going to happen. No, I've got that loud and clear. So the upshot of this, the takeaway would be what?
Enlightenment. You get to know very expansive sense of how things work in the universe, how you work in the universe, what your role in the universe is. And I would say that the universe is the parent of all of us, the parent of Jesus, the parent of every living thing that's ever been on the face of the earth. There was a bishop in the time of Constantine that said that Jesus was made of the same stuff of God, paraphrasing, and that means the universe.
And I heard, Michael, we just ran out of time. Your website, we can find you at?
Atheistcangettoheaven.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We will be right back for Hour 3.
Opinions you hear on the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers.